Today is Pentecost Sunday. The readings are from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 24, and the Gospel of John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Today's message is titled, Declare the Wonders of God. Our first reading from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Jerusalem, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own languages, in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Here ends our reading, the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 7th chapter, beginning at the 37th verse. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not been glorified. The Gospel of our Lord. Today's sermon title is Declare the Wonders of God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, come and calm our hearts during these uncertain times. Grant us confidence in your compassion and your unfailing love. Help our souls rest with reassurances of your sovereign hand, sustaining us through these days. Now, renew the Spirit in us, that we may proclaim the wonders of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen one. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This past Wednesday afternoon, my household was watching a live stream from NASA's webpage. Were any of you watching Wednesday afternoon the live stream and watching and waiting with the anticipation of the launch of Falcon 9 Block 5 SpaceX Demo-2 mission? With less than 20 minutes to go in the countdown, the mission was forced to stand down. The cloudy condition caused the postponing of the launch till the next launch window. Instead of lifting off on Wednesday, May 27th, the next window would be Saturday afternoon, 3:22 p.m., May 30th. On the chalkboard in our kitchen area, we wrote down Saturday, 3:22 p.m. We wanted to watch the historic moment. Saturday afternoon came, the NASA live feed was turned on in our home about 1:30 p.m. My girl started watching and listening and giving updates to Heather and me as we were doing tasks around the house. As the countdown came closer, we joined in the watching of the live stream. Closer and closer, the countdown continued to that moment that a rocket would launch again from Cape Canaveral. The last launch was the 135th mission of the space shuttle on July 8th, 2011. Now, we'll be heading back into space. Closer and closer, the clock counted down. It made it past the 20-minute mark, then the 10-minute mark, then the 6-minute mark. Excitement building, anticipation, 2 minutes, 1 minute, then the seconds are counted. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have liftoff. Now, I was expecting a huge plume of vapor and fire. I remember them from seeing the Saturn V's roaring engines lifting off, and none of that appeared. Not as spectacular as I remember the Saturn V launches. As it turned out, the Falcon 9 is much, I mean much, much smaller than the Saturn V. The Falcon 9 is only 230 feet tall compared to the 363 feet of the Saturn V. Falcon 9 is only 12 feet in diameter. Saturn V is 33 feet in diameter. Falcon 9 is about one-fifth the mass of the Saturn V. That difference sure explains that smaller liftoff plume of vapors and fire and all that. But still, it was exciting. It kept me glued to that live stream as it went higher and faster to that moment of dropping the first stage, igniting the second phase stage. Faster, higher, faster, up, up, low Earth orbit. Wow! Low Earth orbit. And meanwhile, that first stage falls back to Earth, but this time it's in a controlled fashion, and it's landing on the spaceport drone ship. And do you know what the name of that drone ship spaceport is? Of course, I Still Love You. It's quite a unique name. And that made it. It landed on the drone ship, stage one did. And now that Dragon capsule, right now, it's in the process of docking at the space station. It may have already docked. It was really close as I was walking out here, just checking the live stream before coming out. I mean, it's amazing. And the NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine said this on Tuesday. Our country has been through a lot. And this is a news brief from Tuesday. But this is a unique moment. When all of America take a moment and look at our country do something stunning again. And that is to launch American astronauts on an American rocket from American soil to the space station. And meanwhile, while all of this American stunning goodness was unfolding, riots have taken tolls in many cities. Businesses looted and businesses burned. More than 170 businesses in St. Paul have been looted, damaged, burned, or whatever. Molotov cocktails, tear gas, anarchy. Looters leaving the Target store with television, drugs, and other things, looting tobacco stores, Dollar Tree, and liquor stores. And the list keeps growing. Yes, a senseless tragedy took place with Mr. Floyd needlessly dying, which is just plain wrong. But this other stuff that's happening is not right. Place these two events side by side with the rioting in the cities and the lifting off of a rocket. One is uplifting, it's reaching for the skies. The other events are showing the ugly and evil side of humanity. Fire rising a rocket up to the stars, or fire destroying a business and people's livelihoods. The second set of scenes shows how much the gospel of Jesus Christ needs to be proclaimed. Humanity needs the heart-transforming words of Jesus Christ, that life-saving grace freely offered by the redeeming blood. And that is where you come in. Yes, that's where you come in, into this Pentecost-powered task that everyone redeemed by the blood of the Lamb is enlisted to do. Holy Ghost power is what's needed this day. Power! Power from on high, once again, that can redeem and change what is happening. That Holy Spirit power that rocked a gathering of worshipers years ago in Jerusalem. Holy Spirit power, come again. A little over a week earlier, the disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem. It is written in Acts chapter 1. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The gift promised by the Father. Wait for the gift to come. A few short days later, before their very eyes, these same people would witness Jesus returning to the Father, rising up to the sky and received by a cloud from their sight. And it's written in Luke chapter 24, while he, that is Jesus, was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The disciples were in Jerusalem continually at the temple and praising God. Days pass. When will this promised gift come? We know the gift is coming. When will it come? The word of Jesus is full of truth and it is life. The gift will come. The Feast of Shavuot is coming, that festival of weeks. It arrives. Leviticus chapter 23 gives the instructions for the feast. The day is to be a sacred assembly, meaning pilgrims would be gathering from all over the place. Exodus chapter 34 adds this: celebrate the Feast of Weeks with the first fruits of the wheat harvest. This feast is one of the three major festivals that the Lord God commanded all Israel to gather together and observe. According to Exodus 19, this newly freed nation of Israel arrived at Mount Sinai, and the presence of God descended onto the mountain in a cloud, all taking place 50 days after the Passover feast celebration, that moment that sent them free from bondage in Egypt. Now in Jerusalem, there would be gathered these large crowds from all over the lands to worship the Lord God at the temple. And with the disciples constantly at the temple worshiping God, the moment would arrive. The gift will be given. Now many have that image of the upper room in their minds when the Holy Spirit comes. But there's nothing in Acts chapter 2 that says that. Acts chapter 2 rather indicates they're not there, but they're in that temple area. That's the only place the large group could be gathered in one place. And that large temple court area explains why are these large people gathering from all over the nations would hear the disciples speaking these languages. That's what's taking place here in Acts chapter 2. People from all over the place hear this group of Jewish people speaking languages across the spectrum of God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. The disciples were completely filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy, Holy Spirit, it's the gift of God. That Holy Spirit, that's what makes us different. That word holy means to be set apart. It means to be different from the world, because we are like the Lord. And the very presence of God has now come into us, the Holy Spirit. I ask you, what spirit is present in the riots you're reading about or seeing on the news? Is the Spirit of the Lord? Or is it the spirit of this world? The disciples begin to speak in other languages, languages they never learned before. The Spirit enabled them to speak. And this speaking in other languages was not for their own edification or their own personal spiritual growth. God had a purpose here. This group of Galileans was not speaking in all the very languages of the pilgrims for their own benefit. It was for the benefit of the pilgrims that have come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks. The Spirit enabled them to speak these languages for the purpose to declare the wonders of God in their own languages. In all the languages of the people gathering, they could hear in their own language the wonders of God. This alone here in Acts chapter 2 is powerful testimony for translating the Bible into people's own languages, to hear, to read for themselves the wonders of God. When you hear the phrase, wonders of God, what comes to mind? I have to confess, for me, what first comes to my mind is the wonder of this beautiful creation all about us, the majesty of mountains, the vastness of the seas. It also is the beauty of the cry of a newborn child. Yet, the wonder of God the disciples are speaking about, it's none of these things. The wonder they are speaking about is the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Indeed, that is the greatest wonder of God. Yes, the greatest wonder of God, the redeeming work of Christ Jesus, accomplished through the shedding of blood on the cross, dying to pay the redeeming price with his own life. Yes, the crucified Christ has risen. Death could not hold him. It is impossible for death to keep a hold on him. God raised him from the dead, proving the redeeming price has been paid in full. This is the greatest wonder of God. A sinner can be forgiven. A sinner made new, all by grace in Christ Jesus. Yes, all by grace. No work, no task, nothing you can do can make yourself worthy. Simply believe. Yes, believe. As Peter preached that day from the words of Joel chapter 2, the scripture says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Salvation in Christ, that is the greatest wonder of God. And that is desperately needed in the hearts and souls of this nation. Yes, the times are ripe for revival. And you, yes, you who make up the church, you are the ones to declare these wonders of God. Peter kept preaching powerful Holy Spirit words. Peter preached Jesus Christ crucified and risen. Peter preached Jesus ascending to heaven also. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured out what you now see and hear. Peter left no room for confusion, continuing Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Therefore, let the whole world know God has made this Jesus, whom they crucified, both Lord and Christ. And did you know, Peter pleaded and warned them, Acts chapter 2, verse 40, with that many other words, that's Peter, warned them. He pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Some listened. Some heard and took the words to heart. Literally, it means they were pierced all the way down. Their inmost parts were so pained, they had to ask, "What shall we do?" The answer, repent and be baptized. Repent, that is, be changed deep inside. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Will the world listen? Will the world respond to this call, which is so full of mercy and grace? Will you heed the call of God on your life and on your soul? Will you be open to the greatest wonder of God, that redeeming grace, forgiving you entirely of your sin through and through? Pay attention to what happened right after the filling of the Holy Spirit. The disciples declared the wonders of God. That is what you are to do. You too are to declare the wonders of God. You are to declare Christ crucified and risen Lord. You are the ones to carry the message. You are to be the witnesses. And as you can see from the news, that message is desperately needed. We need to carry the good news of Jesus Christ to this generation. Look at what's happening. Look at what the spirit of this world is doing. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can defeat that spirit of this world. Only Christ. Only Christ. Will the cities look for Christ? Will they call upon Christ to bring healing and peace into their areas? I doubt it, but you can go. Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus Christ. After they prayed, the place they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. That's the disciples gathering together after they've already had confrontations with the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem. They prayed to be able to speak the word of God even more boldly. And what happened is the Holy Spirit came again and gave them the ability. Now you, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled and declare the wonders of God. Declare them boldly. You may be the one that keeps another hand from throwing a brick. You may be the one that keeps another from becoming a looter or setting a building on fire. You may be the one that brings peace to the place. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ piercing a heart and redeeming a soul. That's the way to bring peace. Technology can carry a man into space. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can carry a man into heaven. A rocket can escape the grip of gravity. Only Jesus Christ can free a man's soul from the grip of the devil and all the empty promises. Child of God, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Declare the wonders of God to all you meet. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.